Hey, welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and coming up, we've got the latest from Must Be the Holy Ghost and the Art of Mime. Oh yeah, he'll talk all right. Don't you worry about that. But first, Eddie Garcia explores the world of stop animation film.
Stop motion is an animation technique where physical objects are moved in small increments, then painstakingly photographed one frame at a time. This creates the illusion of movement when the frames are played in sequence. Some recent examples of this technique would be Tim Burton's Frankenweenie, Paranorman, or Wes Anderson's The Fantastic Mr. Fox. Recent University of North Carolina School of the Arts alum Austin Taylor has been inspired by these films and countless others. In his fourth year at the university, he created the stop-motion animated short Death and the Robot. Death and the Robot tells the story of two lonely souls, bored of their dystopian daily grind, that develop a surprising friendship. The film has been in a dozen national and international film festivals over the past year and won Best Animation at six of them. Give listeners a basic idea of Death and the Robot.
So Death and the Robot is a story about two lonely souls who are sort of bored of their constant, meticulous existence. They each have been charged with a very monotonous lifestyle, and they're ready for something new. They're ready for a friendship. And ultimately, that's what the story is about. It's a friendship between this robot who cares for plant life. He's a nurturer robot, and Death herself. On the surface, it's a friendship story, but we also explore some deeper philosophies of what mortality really means. And we suggest several different things metaphorically that we hope that people will be able to gravitate towards.
So why'd you go stop motion with Death and the Robot? I mean, have you been inspired by people like Ray Harryhausen or some of the Tim Burton stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Ray Harryhausen, of course, is like the one, the man, the legend. And it's really his focus and his desire to push himself with every single animation that he does. There's the Medusa that has snakes in her hair, so much elaboration. He's got characters with multiple different arms. And of course, there's the classic scene with seven skeletons. At certain times, there were seven skeletons on screen, meaning that he animated all of those seven skeletons and had to keep track of the direction of every single one of their appendages, frame by frame by frame by frame by frame.
But yeah, stop motion animation is such a meticulous
craft. It is a very meticulous craft.
So have you always been someone that been your forte?
I see what you're getting at. Yes, I am OCD. it's strange. You don't realize when you're in it how crazy you must seem, because you really do. I mean, it does get down to the point where you're staring at a screen and you're just like, you know what, that flower needs to be moved a centimeter to the left. And so you'll take like 5 minutes to walk over and move it over and then adjust the light just a smidgen. And then you come back to your camera and you're like, you know what, that doesn't quite work. I don't like that anymore. And then you go back and you adjust it a little bit more. So it's not just the animation, which of course is meticulous. It's also the setup of the scene and making sure the composition looks just right. And I can only imagine how crazy I must look to other people when I'm in a room for like 12 hours straight just working on like one shot. It can take forever, but the payoff when you actually get it right and then you get to watch it come to life and move and then cut together, once it cuts together, I mean, that's a completely different thing. And then once you see other people putting in their sound, their creative sound designs and their music and all of the facets start to come together, it is the most crazy cool experience. I've cried laughing because of how excited I was to see things start to come together. It's an experience that's really hard to replicate, but you hope that you can share pieces of that enthusiasm at least with your audience.
Yeah.
And that they feel that excitement really does translate through.
Talk to me about the process of making the characters,
sure.
Of making the puppets.
Yeah, so I actually brought them here with me. I wish
awesome.
Listeners could see them.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to get some pictures.
Yeah, here they are. So if you want to see these characters, you're just going to have to come to Carolina Film and Video Festival. These were 3D printed, and that in itself actually was a really different process.
And you'll see we'll post the trailer online to get an idea for the characters, but you know what I'm looking at is a really detailed steampunkish type of robot, and playful feminine death, very unique characters.
Well, that was actually a great articulation. We definitely wanted a steampunk aesthetic without going all out steampunk, so we kind of combined a steampunk with this retro sci-fi sort of appeal, especially for Robot's lab or his greenhouse. It sort of went through different phases of what we were officially calling it, but basically his man cave. And it has just all of his plants and everything in it. So we really wanted to make Robot stand out against all of the plants, and so he has a lot more of a sort of rustic feel. He's loosely based on a watering can, just to better associate him with the plants around him. He's got more moving parts than Death does, and in terms of really innovative design and just how his facial structure moves, I'm definitely more proud of how he came together. But he was also the second puppet that I worked on. Death came first, and so she was almost kind of a prototype. Because, to be honest with you, we didn't even know if this 3D printing process was going to work. Turns out it worked perfectly.
3D printing process, something we've all been hearing a lot about lately, you know, without explaining everything about it, could you just kind of tell us what that means?
Sure. 3D printing in this case was, normally you would use a metal ball and socket armature. We chose to 3D print because you can make just about anything and you can make it again. So that's why they call it rapid prototyping, because you can prototype like crazy.
So where'd you get access to the 3D printing?
So we actually worked with Center for Design Innovation, which is in downtown Winston-Salem. They were extremely helpful. We didn't have a 3D printer. We didn't know what a 3D printer looks like. They educated us.
What kind of budget and what kind of time frame did it take to put this film together?
Our budget actually was only $1,500, which for a film of this scale is actually extremely small. So we had to work around a lot of constraints. The sets that we made were collapsible and sort of like puzzle pieces. They could be reassembled in different ways so that if we're in an exterior location, we could redesign, we could move around like Legos to make it look like a separate part of that exterior location so that the exteriors never look the same. But we really had to pinch every penny. It was definitely an interesting process, but because it was actually a very small crew and we were all students, we didn't need the budget in terms of paying for the time that was put into it. We needed that budget, especially for the wood materials for the sets, which James Helterbridal was amazing at designing, constructing, and coming up with a way that we could really work in a small space with a small budget. It was definitely a Rubik's Cube.
Really great score. Was that composed originally for the film?
Yes. That was Tom Hooser. We worked with him, you know, even starting in concept stages. And so, you know, he was really working alongside of us, building tonal tracks that we could cut into our animatics and start to really, like, collaborate together in terms of building this world and making it feel cohesive.
Filmmaker Austin Taylor. His stop-motion animated film, Death and the Robot, is making a big impact on the film festival circuit, from Winston-Salem's River Run to the Tel Aviv International Film Festival in Israel. The score of Death and the Robot was composed by Winston-Salem's Tom Hooser. You'll find links to the music and the animation at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. For 88.5 WFDD, I'm Eddie Garcia.